Right, tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 11. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 11, we'll be reading verse 2 and 3, and then we'll skip over and read a few more verses. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, Paul is writing, of course, to the church of Corinth. This is his second letter to them. The first letter, he rebuked them. Now he is trying to encourage them and encourage them in the things of the Lord. And he says in verse number 2, he says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Paul says here that he is jealous over this church, and as that he has presented it and worked with it, that it might be a clean wife, a bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, "I have a fear, the fear that the serpent might come along and do the same thing that he did to Eve in the book of Genesis." Someone would say, why would Paul have a jealousy over this church that had so many difficulties and so many problems? It's a really worldly church. It's a church that had so many problems that time tonight would not even permit us to even talk about those church issues that was on the inside of that congregation called Corinth. And so why would he be jealous over them as working with them and doing all this work with them to get them straightened up? Now notice in verse number 24, and I believe we find here the heart of Paul and why he would have such a dedication because of some of the turmoil and the strife that had come to his life. Now he is showing his investment that has been placed there. He says in verse number 24 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, "Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one." Now if you multiply that out, that's 195 stripes that the Jews gave to him there in his ministry, the beatings and the whippings that he'd received. He said, "Thrice or 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeying often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watching often in hunger and thirsting, and fasting often in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not." In verses 24 through 31, we find the confession of Paul concerning some of the difficulties and some of the struggles that he went through just to get the gospel to those people in the different regions beyond that he had been called unto. And of course, he's writing to this church of Corinth that he had had to write and rebuke them and literally bring a chastening rod upon them. Now he is writing to give them encouragement concerning how that he is jealous over their life and jealous over their ministry and jealous over their church. He says, "I have espoused you to one husband." By the way, the husband there is the Lord Jesus Christ, for the church is considered and called and has a classification as being the bride of Christ. And so he says, "I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Verse number 3, he says, "But I fear." If we are not careful, the devil will rob and destroy all the things that we have in our life that we cherish very much as a believer. The devil is the arch enemy of the child of God. He's the arch enemy of Christ. He's the enemy of God, and he has never been in recognition or consideration of the things of the Lord that he'd ever be in agreement with them. And so Paul tells this church that he had struggled for them. And then in those latter verses we read, he goes through all the perils of his life. I think sometimes when we feel like that maybe we are suffering, we ought to read these verses. Sometimes when we think we are suffering in America for the Lord and some of the difficulties that may come our way, then we maybe ought to read of what happened in the life of Paul. I've never been beaten any, much less have 195 stripes. I've never been put in prison. I've never been in jail. I've never had the perils with robbers. And he said, even of my own countrymen, of his own Jewish nation, those folks had betrayed him. He says, not only his own countrymen, but the heathen that he dealt with, and the cities, and the wilderness, and the sea, and the false brethren. He tells us there in verses 13, 14, and 15, he talks about the false apostles or the false brethren. And he says, and no marvel, verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So I believe that this chapter here, we're dealing with Paul's heart for the ministry. He is dealing with the idea that we had need to watch out for the enemy, the devil, as he lurks about, and the Scripture says, seeking whom he may devour. This is a solemn warning that comes from the Apostle Paul, that he says, I fear, but I fear. He said, realize the devil is an enemy. Realize that he transforms himself into an angel of light. Realize that he is the one that brings the struggles and the trials, and he's the one that brings the weariness to the body and the weakness that it comes upon the flesh and the painfulness and the hunger and all the things that Paul lists there in those verses. The devil certainly had Paul in his eyesight and literally had him in his sights to bring about confusion to his life, to bring about a discouragement, to bring about a turmoil that he would give up and that he would not do the work of the Lord. And I believe we're no different. We are fair game to the devil. We are fair game to that one that despises the gospel that we preach. We are fair game to the one that has given himself that we might be defeated, that we might go down to destruction. And certainly he is our enemy. He has a desire for all of us, and that desire is not good. He has a desire that he might, as the Lord told the Apostle Peter, he had a desire to sift him, and to sift him like wheat, and to bring about turmoil and struggles in his life. And of course, I believe Peter was sifted many times by the devil, and the struggles were there many times of his own faults and his own failures. And the devil tonight, he has desires for you and I. He doesn't want us to progress. He doesn't want us to go forward. He certainly does not want us to get the gospel out. He certainly does not want us to do the work through the missionaries that we've just had our conference with. And he certainly doesn't want something like this to take place, to reach a generation of people and a group of people that have not had the gospel in their language ever. May God help us to be instrumental to working for the Lord. But you be rest assured, the devil's out there and he's got you in your sights. He has Grace Baptist Church in his sights. And Paul says here, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. He said, I've given you these things and I've put you as espoused you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means the serpent that beguiled Eve would do the same. And so we need to understand the devil has some things for us. And certainly the devil has power. He's not all powerful, but he's powerful. He's not all knowledgeable, but he does have knowledge. He doesn't have all strength, but he has much strength. And I dare say we can't fight the devil alone. He is an enemy that we cannot defeat. He's an enemy that in our own flesh and our own self, we cannot overcome him, but we can through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we must keep our Lord in the right perspective in our life because, as I said, Satan desires to sift us. Satan desires to strip us of our fulfilling what God would have us to do. And he wants to strike out against us. He wants to strike out against our faithfulness, our tithes, our offerings, and our work for the Lord. He wants to make sure that we are no longer busy for the Lord and become cold and indifferent. The Bible says in John chapter 13, verse 27, after the sop, Satan entered into him, speaking of Judas, and then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. I believe Satan runs about lurking quickly to destroy the people of God because I believe he knows his time is short. I believe he knows he's on a leash. He knows he can only go so far. For God told Satan, as he talked about Job, he said, you can do all the things that you desire to him, but you cannot have his life. You cannot have his soul. And so Satan's on a leash, but I'll tell you what, he stretches it as far as it'll go. And he works against us, and he discourages us, and he defeats us. That's his desire. His desire is to tear down everything that the Lord builds up in our life. And I want us to certainly be aware of that, because if we're not careful, he will by every mean beguile us like he did Eve there. In the beginning, notice here what he wants to destroy or to corrupt our minds. He wants to corrupt the simplicity that is in Christ. Isn't it a wonderful thing that salvation is a simple, simple thing? We hand out tracts all the time entitled "The Simple Plan of Salvation." And salvation is a simple plan of God to bring people unto Himself. But if we're not careful, the devil will certainly corrupt our minds. And there are religious people and there are organizations that have corrupted the simplicity of Christ. They have added numerous things that are added to, if you want to go to heaven, you got to do this, or you got to do that, or you got to follow these rules, or you got to follow those. No, the only thing you have to do to go to heaven is believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the simplicity of the gospel. That's the simplicity of Christ. And we have seen the devil corrupt that simplicity and that simple message and that simple plan of how a man or a woman, boy or girl goes from earth to glory. It's simply by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, turning unto Him. His desire, though, is to corrupt that. His desire is to sift us. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, so behold, Satan has desired to have you and to sift you as wheat." That sifting as wheat is a confusion and a tearing down and a destruction. It's a belittling. It's a tearing down to the point that we're no longer busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. A person needs to have a personal assurance of what Christ has done in their heart, because if we don't have that assurance, we'll never be busy for the Lord. And so we need to watch out for this wicked one, lest he beguile us, lest he turn the gospel of God into lasciviousness, lest he makes us corrupted in the simplicity that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his desire is to do that, and he has many, many devices to do that. He has many things. He will trick you. He'll hinder you. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 18 says, "Wherefore we would have you to come, you even as even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us." Satan hinders us in the work of the Lord. He throws boulders in our pathway. He puts difficulties there. He puts mountains that we cannot climb seemingly and valleys that we do not want to cross, and problems are always there, and he's always there to hinder the work of God. Paul said there, he said, "I would come to you time and again, but Satan hindered me." Now, if Paul could be hindered, I believe we're fair game. If Paul could be hindered as he was faithful to the Lord, as we've read tonight, then I believe we certainly need to be careful of his devices. The Bible tells us those devices there are to trap us and to tempt us, to trick us, to bring us down to destruction, to slow us down, to cause us to not go on and do what needs to be done. Well, the devil, he'll trick you and he'll tempt you not to do what you said you'd do in faith promise. He's always busy. He's always active. He's always at his task. If Christians would be as faithful as the devil, we'd have it made. If we're as faithful working for God as he is faithful working against us, then we certainly would make great advancements in the work of the Lord. So he has his desires and he has his devices. He has his deceptions. He'll deceive us. He'll make something look good that's not good. The scripture says here that we read, he changes himself into an angel of light. That he puts himself in the position of being looking like he should. He says, and no marvel, or do not marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now notice verse 15. Therefore it is no great thing for his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Well, you mean the devil has ministers? He certainly does. A minister or a preacher or a proclaimer, the devil has his crowd. The devil has his preachers. The devil has his religious activity. The devil has all of those things. And Paul says here, we ought not to marvel. For Satan has transformed himself into an angel that looks right and looks good, an angel of light. And he said, therefore, it's no great thing. It ought not be surprising to us that his ministers would do the same thing, that they would be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. What are those ministers of righteousness that have been transformed? They're not righteous, they're ungodly. What are those? Who are they? Well, for the most part, they're religious infidels. They're religious hierarchy. They're the religions of the world that has taken the gospel and corrupted it. Taken the message and corrupted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the devil has his ways of doing. Revelation chapter number 12, verse 9 says, the great dragon cast out that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. The whole world. Of course, I know that's Revelation, that's future. But I'll tell you what, he's been cast and he's still deceived. He's deceiving the whole world tonight. For the most part, the world is in deception. The world is in darkness. For they have fallen to his devices. He'll deceive the mind. He'll deceive our methods. Well, we can think we're doing right by doing something good, seemingly good. We think that the devil will make us think everything's okay and we can make ourselves feel good by doing wrong when we know what the Scripture says. And so he's very deceptive. Makes us to think things. 2 Corinthians 11:3. I fear, that's the verse there, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. He was subtle in what he did. He didn't. You just rest assured, the devil did not show up in the Garden of Eden, the picture that we depict him as, red hat and tail and pitchfork. He didn't go to Eve like that. He was subtle. He was a beautiful, attractive, adorable, something that would be desired. And he comes to Eve, and the very first thing that he does is says, "Hath God said?" What's he do? He corrupts the simplicity of God. Hath God said? Did he really say that? And then he said, well, did he really mean what he said? You see, there's a whole crowd of people out there tonight that try to explain this book away and say he really didn't mean what he said. Oh, but my friend, he said what he meant and he meant what he said. But the devil's subtle. He'll come as an angel of light. He'll come as a minister of righteousness. And he'll deceive our minds into thinking wrong things. And he'll deceive our methods and our morals. He'll deceive all those things to bring us down and to put us into destruction. He's a person, he's an individual that is great in knowing how to destroy. He's a master of destruction. He's a master of destroying our faith. All you got to do is read the history of Christianity. He's a master of deceiving and destroying our faith in the Lord. The things that go on in churches today, y'all read some of those, y'all read some old church records of what they did to people that did what we do every day. They were no longer a member of the church. Well, we don't hear much about church discipline anymore, but it's still in the book. It's still there. And we find that through the process of time, the devil has come and undermined our faith in the things of God. And he's certainly today undermining our faith in the Word of God. All the different translations, the different books that call themselves Bibles, and all those things that and by the way, if it's different, it can't be the same. I understand translation. I understand those things. But, my friend, we have to have a standard of belief. And we realize that the devil has worked and he's destroyed our faith. He's destroyed the fruit that we have. He's destroying our families nationwide. Over 50% of every marriage ends up in divorce court. And now there's almost as many people living together as are married without the benefit of marriage. He's undermined, he's destroyed, he's torn down. He's a destructive person. And by the way, the devil's not just a force, he's a person. He's an individual, he's a personality. Somebody said, well, the devil's the evil force in this world. That's like the force be with you, all that stuff. The devil's not a force, he's a person. And he acts and he walks and he talks and he lives within people and lives within his own ways, his deceptions, his devices to destroy. And when he destroys, then he works about to devour. 1 Peter 5:8, very familiar verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking. And the Bible says he's just walking about. He's just going up and down our homes and up and down our lives, up and down our families, up and down our churches. He's just walking about and say, uh-huh, I can get him. Now, it may take me a little while, but I see a weakness there, and I'll begin to work on that weakness. Before long, he devours us. Before long, we're destroyed. He'll take all that we have. He'll destroy us. Mark chapter number 4. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, the Bible says, and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. No wonder he wants to destroy the Word and our faith in it. He will devour us. He will destroy us. He will deceive us. He has the devices and the means whereby to do that, and that is his desire. And Paul said, I fear. Paul says here, I fear that by any means, the serpent. You see, Paul had been well acquainted with the serpent. For it was the serpent that had instructed or encouraged those to give him those 5 times 40 stripes save one. It was the serpent, it was the enemy that had instructed or encouraged those to beat him 3 times with rods, and once to be stoned, once to be left for dead, and in a shipwreck, and a day and a night in the deep. Read about that in the book of Acts. It was the serpent that did all those things to Paul, and he said, I worry about you. I fear that he might do the same thing to us. Oh, but I'm glad, thank God, I know one that can deliver. Now, Satan's got all of his D's here, but I'm glad our God can deliver. Satan may desire us, Satan can deceive us, and he is deceptive and he's destructive, and he can devour us, but I'm glad one can deliver us. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of glory. He is the one that can deliver us from Satan. He is the one that can deliver us to salvation. He's the one that can deliver us to service and realize the importance of getting the message out and getting the gospel to the lost and dying world. It is the active force and the active work and the active person of Christ that lives in our heart that makes us busy for the things of Christ. And We must be aware of the devil's devices. We must be aware of his tricks and his deceptive things, because Christ has, he has delivered us. And all the devil tries to do is deceive us. Thank God tonight we've been delivered. We have the gospel. And Paul says the power of God. He said he wasn't ashamed of it. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile or the heathen. We sing about to the regions beyond, and we should, but we ought to always understand that the regions beyond are right outside those doors. It's beyond our home. It's beyond our house. Maybe the next street over. Maybe it's the person next to us at work or the next person we meet, the regions beyond. Satan sometimes will so come at us that we become ashamed. We don't want people to know we're Christian. Oh, may God help us never to be ashamed of the gospel. Never to have fear of man or individual, or have fear of people. May we always understand that He is the one, Jesus Christ is the one that has given Himself for us, that we might have life. That's why Paul could endure the stripes, the beatings, the whippings, the cold, the weather, the activities that he met. That's why Paul could go through that, because he had been delivered there on the road to Damascus. As he went down to destroy Christians, he met the Lord. I believe we need to understand, I believe we need to tell people that salvation is an encounter with God. We don't educate ourselves into becoming a Christian. We believe to become a Christian. We accept. We understand we're sinners. We understand we need God. We understand that we are filthy, undone, and we need one that has come and given Himself for us. We turn to Him from our sins to Him. Thank the Lord, He will deliver us. And the power of Satan then is broken upon. He does not have to have that power. He only gets what we offer to him. He only gets what we give him. So may God help us. We've gone through a great week of missions conference. I believe it's the best meeting we've ever had. We've gone through a great time, good missionaries, good testimonies. If we're not careful, I think we need to understand, as Paul said, but I fear. You better be afraid of the devil. Better have fear, understanding he can beguile us. He can trick us. He can deceive us. We'll catch ourselves and say, well, that missionary, he doesn't need all that finances. Boy, I'm glad I can read good letters like this tonight. See progress. Brother Ronnie got the picture there of the old church that he's meeting in. The outside, it's old. But the inside, it looks bright and fresh, preaching the gospel. I got a letter today from Brother John O'Brien, his pastor. Have an opportunity, and I want to talk about that maybe even Sunday. Have an opportunity to help get established the first Baptist church built in the Ukraine. Since the communist wall fell, John's been faithful. We've sent Bibles to him. He's been faithful preaching the gospel. And he shows a picture of an old dilapidated building. Just about ready to fall. They meet in that every week. And just a few people will help with a little bit. Before summer's end, they can have a place that people will come. He sent a picture last year. He showed a picture of the bathroom. It had snow all over the floor of the bathroom. And that's where they meet. The wall has cracks in it all the way down. The brick is about to fall out. May God help us not to be deceived. There's a need out there. There's a call that goes ringing. There's a message that needs to be preached, and a building or a place of worship that needs to be as a monument to the grace of God. God can do it. Here's a people that hadn't had the gospel in 60, 70 years and almost had forgotten about God and almost been forgotten about. And here he is in a little old city in the Ukraine. And God's raising up a people for His name. You know what? We'll see them on the other side. Saved by the same power of the gospel as we are. And one day we'll look upon them. One day we'll see them. What a blessing it is to get letters of people being saved everywhere. This little old boy that Miss Dana writes to us about from Romania, her home country. She's Romanian. And I remember the letter I read maybe a month before, and she was so concerned about this one little old boy that just could not, they couldn't control him because he could not communicate. How would you like to not be able to communicate? A little child, and he gets angry and gets frustrated. And don't know anybody loves him and don't know anybody cares about him because nobody can tell him. And here's a young lady that has given her life to go back and find a little boy's name to Eli. Now he knows concepts and beginning to understand. You know what will happen? He'll get the gospel. He may never hear it, but he can get it by the signs of the hands. And she's teaching him, and he's teaching his mother. You know what can happen all through that deaf community? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. And may God help us to have a part in it until Jesus comes. But beware. Paul says, I fear lest the devil come in and through his subtlety corrupt the gospel of Christ. But if we keep ourselves alert, if we keep ourselves aware, you know what will happen? He has to flee. You give the book to the devil, he has to run. He can't handle the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted there 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord didn't argue with the devil. The Lord didn't show His power. And by the way, He could have turned the rocks into bread. And He could have jumped off the pinnacle of the temple and survived. He could have done all those things. But He didn't argue with the devil. He just gave Him the Word of God. The Word says. The Scripture says. And if you want to fight Him, you better fight Him with the Scripture. Fight Him with the Word. And have victory. Let's stand together tonight.